Hi again, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me for the third part of my detoxification series that I call Detox Deception. My name is Dr. Michael Walt. I'm known as the Blood Detective because I get to the bottom of things. I welcome all of your comments, all of your criticisms. We're all in this together. But hey, there is a lot of nonsense out there in the natural healthcare industry. There's at least as much nonsense in the allopathic or traditional medical community as well. And it's up to us as intelligent individuals to band together and try to get through the morass of nonsense so that we can maintain our health, gain our health, optimize our health. So I have discussed detoxification in the other two segments, and I described a toxin as an unwanted substance. I said that toxins are certainly in the external environment. They're in our foods, they're in our water, they're in our air. And over the course of a lifetime, more or less, in different people, depending on our susceptibility to accumulate toxins and get rid of toxins, they can cause disease. Toxins are also produced in the body, and those sort of toxins are called endotoxins, and they're produced as a normal byproduct of aging and degeneration of tissues, but also by abnormal processes in the body and also by different infectious agents. So I said something just a moment ago that is really important because people ask me all the time. They'll say, Dr. Wald, well, how is it that I have all this toxic metal accumulation, or I have these toxic antibodies, or I have this toxic infection or toxic hormones, etc.? How is that this has happened to me, but it doesn't happen to everyone else in my neighborhood, even in my healthcare community? Remember, we are all extremely different in our body's ability to detoxify. Detoxification is a complex process. It's genetically determined. It's affected by what we eat, what we think, and what we're exposed to. But exposure to a toxin is not enough to determine whether or not that toxin accumulates in us, which is called bioaccumulation. And for that matter, even if it does accumulate in us, and even toxic levels that one can measure, let's say in the lab, that doesn't mean we'll know about it. It doesn't mean we'll have symptoms. It also does not mean it's going to cause disease. But I say, hey, if we know something's a potential toxin, get rid of it now. Because if something's not a toxin now in you, meaning it's not creating adverse symptoms, your blood work looks good, for example, as you grow older and your body's tissues cannot maintain proper resiliency against, you know, managing the presence of a toxin, then that toxin or toxins that have always been present in your body can take on a very different nature. So there are just certain things that we should be doing each day. I should say the whole process of detoxification or the removal of toxins, which really, by the way, is elimination, but let's not get into those semantics right now, is something that occurs every day in every cell, tissue, organ, and organ system. It changes speeds. Some days we detoxify more than another. We detoxify toxins through our breathing, through our skin, through our fecal matter, through our urine. And detoxification depends on our nutritional state, again, our genetics, our food, so many different factors. But I want to talk about now medications, because almost everyone is at one time in their lives is exposed or takes some form of medication. There are very few people who have not. So medications almost always affect detoxification by either increasing various detoxification pathways. Yeah, certain medications can improve detoxification, or they can reduce them. So the technical term for either increasing or decreasing various detox pathways is termed either upregulation of the pathway, meaning you're speeding up the removal and the transformation of a toxin into something less, or downregulation respectively, which is not a good thing, which means that the medication actually adversely affected how your body gets rid of toxins. And for those of you that are thinking that the liver is the major detox organ, just forget that. Because the liver doesn't exist in a vacuum. That's not consistent with holistic thinking. If one believes in holism, we have to realize that we cannot artificially separate one organ from another. Now, we might do this in our conversation, but it's not how the body works. Anyway, not getting too off the topic, it's essential that the detox effort that a person, you know, embarks on is partially, you know, based on, you know, what medications they're on. If they're on a medication that creates stress in the liver, then we need nutrients that help upregulate the detoxification in the liver. And they might include L-glycine, reduced glutathione, coenzyme Q10, for example, or they might not. This depends on how all the various detoxification systems in the body work. And, you know, I've mentioned throughout the shows that the detoxification systems include, but are certainly not limited to, the respiratory tract, that's a detoxifying system, the cardiovascular system, the lymphatic systems, the endocrine system, the pulmonary system, the liver, of course, the gut. But these systems do many, many, many things beyond just detoxification. So my approach to people is truly what I believe a longevity approach. Through testing, through assessments, through questionnaires, I build a metabolic map of my patients and I determine what they need for their needs. That's what they need for detoxification to occur on a daily basis. Now, for those of us who do detoxification sort of boot camps, and I like these, if they're correct for the person, meaning, you know, you juice in a certain way, or you eat a certain way, or you don't eat a certain way, or you exercise a certain way, and you do that for a few days or several weeks, you're not going to change your health around by doing that, most likely. Some of you say, well, I did. Well, that's wonderful, but that's just not how it works for most people. Detoxification is a daily effort, and then you can use these more focused or targeted, intense detox efforts to, you know, bring you over a tough spot or to promote a sense of well-being. But we have to realize that detoxification is not something we just do for a couple of days or a few weeks. If you do detoxification, some method, which we could say here for argument's sake, is valid, but you do not eat well or eat well the way you need to eat based on your chemistry, your needs, your health problems, those that you know of, those that you don't, and your health goals, you're just kidding yourself. So the issue is that there are different detoxification systems in the liver. Let's just focus on that for a minute. There's phase one detoxification, there's phase two detoxification, and there's intermediate detoxification. And the body has these three, and there's a few other detox mechanisms in the liver, and they handle most toxins that we are possibly exposed to, which means the body's very, very resilient. It's able to manage tens of thousands, if not more, toxins. But it's got to get the basic nutrition that it needs. I figure out that nutrition on patients based on very individualized testing. Then recommending specific foods and other lifestyle practices, definitely nutritional supplements. And then I recheck a person over time, several times. That's the only way you really know if you're building health in a person. Let's talk for a moment about foodborne toxins. You know, foods are loaded with various infections like E. coli. So E. coli certainly causes, it's the most common cause of foodborne illness, certainly in the United States. But also gluten, as many of us recognize, is a toxin for most of us. I certainly believe it is. And you might want to consult my book called A Glutenaholic, and you can read more about that on my blog. And also, genetically modified organisms, I believe, are inherently toxic. And if you were to visit Amazon and look up Frankenfoods, Controversy Lies in Your Health, that is my latest book on the issues of GMOs and how they relate to disease. It's funny because I found lots of scientific evidence to show that GMOs are toxic, but there's still this argument out there by pseudoscientists. I just don't get it. I suppose it comes down to that famous saying that ignorance is bliss. So anyway, natural detoxifiers, again, foods, nutritional supplements, herbs, these sorts of things, given incorrectly, can actually increase the toxicity of toxins and worsen the body's ability to detoxify things over the course of a lifetime. How do you know? You need to look at all these body systems. We have the technology to do this. So let's speak for a little bit about how do we choose the best detoxifiers, okay? So, and also how urgent the toxin or toxin needs to be removed. Well, that that has a lot to do with what you choose in terms of the detoxifier. So an experienced physician, experienced doctor like myself, is one who judges the speed or rate of the detoxification process and the removal process through testing, not just symptoms. You can't rely on symptoms or the absence of them. Too fast of a detoxification and you can seriously hurt a person. Too slow and you can seriously hurt a person. You know, the age of the individual, their biochemistry, the toxins in question, the resiliency of the person's health who bears the burden of the toxicity. All of these are factors that I've got to consider when I choose the best method or methods of detoxification. There's always a few ways you probably want to remove toxin. So the type of toxin and the body weight of a person, or what's called the body composition, is an essential factor in determining how well your detoxification efforts work. If you do detoxification, whatever it is, whatever you think detoxification is, and you lose lean organ mass, you are making yourself worse, you're increasing your disease risk, and potentially your lifespan. How do I know that? Well, the researchers at Tufts University, and I've done a lot of this research on my own as well, have written a book called Biomarkers. It's a very technical book. I'm not sure you should be reading that. It put me to sleep. But my point is that body composition, lean organ mass, is the single best predictor of morbidity and mortality, meaning whatever you do in life, I don't care if you meditate on a hill, you eat organic rice, whatever you do to do your detoxification, if you do not improve, or at least you don't lose lean organ mass, then that is a favorable effort. If you lose lean organ mass, that is associated with increased incidence of chronic degenerative disease and symptoms, and generally dying prematurely from preventable or diseases that could be delayed by years and years. So I always run a biocomposition test on every single patient because that test also tells me one's metabolic rate, how they burn calories, and the percentage of muscle, water, and fat. How do you know how much of a detoxifying nutrient or food you should take or how you should eat if you don't know how you burn calories? I see clinicians and physicians designing detox plans for people without this information. It's absolute nonsense. So persons, for example, who are obese or morbidly obese, they do store significantly more toxin in their bodies, and the toxins will require multiple types of detoxifying compounds at much higher doses for much longer periods of time than those with normal weight and normal body composition. That means normal lean organ mass. However, you know, this general rule here about these different concepts I've just said, you have to always be cognizant that general rules may not apply to you. What is your kidney or renal function? What is your liver function? What is your respiratory function? Or do you have high homocysteine? Or do you have low vitamin D? Is your C-reactive protein elevated? If you don't know what these things are, get them checked. There's many, many tests as part of my Blood Detectives Longevity Panel that I do through a national lab, AccuLabs. I design this for them. That gives me an extremely wide base to determine detoxification efforts for my patients. So number one, get the proper laboratory work done. Don't get silly tests like hair analysis, which is not going to tell you about how the rest of the body works. Hair analysis will tell you what toxins or nutrients are deficient or present in the hair. That's it. That may or may not have anything to do with anything else. So please let me know your thoughts about this topic here. Now I'm going to do one more segment on detoxification or detox deception next Wednesday. So go to my website at www.intmedny.com or blooddetective.com. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Post your comments on the blog. Stay tuned next time for a final segment on detoxification. Tell all your friends. Have a great day. My name is Dr. Michael Wald, and I am the Supervisor of Nutritional Services at Integrated Medicine of Mount Kisco. You can reach me at 914-242-8844.